to the way they hate. And I know better than to listen to the people who are calling us names. Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Brian, and today is Tuesday, June 11th, 2024, and this is episode 717 of the Lots Project podcast, and it's titled I Spy. I'll be chatting about thoughts after a TikTok about Walmart cameras. I found a rock yesterday, nature works quick, and a little bit more. First, let's look down in the live chat. See who's hanging out in the coffee crew. Grab a cup and hang out for an hour. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How is everyone doing today? Pickle Pete in first. Pickle Pete, Pacific Northwest in first. Who the hell gets up this early? I get up this early every day. Actually, I'm usually up for about an hour before the show comes on, but it is 2 hours earlier out there where you are on the leftist coast. Thumbs up on the way in. Wipe your feet at the door for sure, for sure. Rewilder Life, good morning. Thanks for hitting that like. I appreciate it. Pickle Pete's talking Expedia and Google. Not quite. I'm not sure Expedia and Google what you're talking about there. Rewilder Life says she got a survey today. Allergy tea will be my friend. I think mine broke, actually. I think my allergies, ads. Pickle Pete says that Expedia and Google were his ads. I think my sinuses actually released. I had something going on for a few days there. I was in rough shape. I don't know what it was. I didn't feel necessarily all that particularly grand. And yesterday or the day before, I think it was after the Saturday, Corey and I busted ass out on the property, and I sweated my ass off, worked really hard, and then Sunday I felt great. So maybe it was just a needing to sweat and a little bug or something. I don't know. But yesterday felt good. Today, yesterday, day before felt good. Today, this morning, feel great. So I don't know. Good morning, Pip. Cheers to you. Hopefully everything's going all right with Pip. What's in the cup today? What's in the cup? Probably the last day this bag. It's that light. I don't remember. It's not Colombian. It's light something. It's light something for sure. It's not Peruvian. I completely blanked. That's fantastic. It's a light roast from foodforestfarms.com, and it's fantastic. I wish I could tell you what it was. Guatemalan. Light Guatemalan, and it is fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic. So good that it just knocks the name right out of my head. You can get it over at foodforestfarms.com. Brian over there is fantastic at customer service. He takes pride in his work, and he is a master at his craft. Light roasted, air roasted coffee is my favorite, but he has expanded my horizons into some darker roasts, some blends, and the such. And he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. If you're looking for an awesome cup at a great price for what it is, the quality of coffee that he puts out at the price he puts it out at is a value you just can't find anywhere. So head over to foodforestfarms.com. Always free shipping over there. And if you are looking to try it out, use LOTS10, LOTS10, coupon code at checkout. Get you 10% off. One-time use coupon. If you already use that, always use LOTS5, LOTS5, for 5% off your awesome coffee. It'll show up. It'll be everything you had hoped for and more, and you will enjoy it every morning like I do. So much so that you blank on the beans that you're drinking that day. Anyway, it's last day of this. We'll move on to a new cup tomorrow. And let's get on with it. Good morning, Hunter. Pickle Pete says, Wook flew from the booze. Dude, I don't drink. I don't think it's the flu from the booze. Hunter, good morning over on Twitch there. And let's get going. Let's get going. Title of the show is I Spy. Corey sent me a TikTok yesterday. It was interesting. So the TikTok was more of a catalyst. It was an eye opener. It was an eye opener that this was going on. I was not shocked at all. I was not shocked in the least because it just is what it is. Good morning on the vertical feed over there. Harmony G, Damas, how we doing? Show my feet. Boy Kisser's biggest fan. You want me to show my feet? I don't think you want to see my feet. Am I a Yakuza crime boss? Wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you like to know? I don't show my feet, dude. That was not me. Anyway, so we had a TikTok. Corey sent me a TikTok that was about Walmart. The girl was warning folks that use the, especially females, that use the self-checkout lanes, that there is a below the cart camera. And I didn't necessarily understand. Pickle Pizza, someone wants to suck on some toes. Yeah, over on the vertical feed, it gets a little squirrely in the comments over there. Likely because it's a flyby, anonymous keyboard warriors, and I don't check the comments over there very much. Pickle P says, have you ever smoked Mullen? I've actually been thinking about, I've had this chest stuff going on, and I think it might be that there's some mildew moisture issues in the trailer, plus the residual smoke from the wood stove over the winter and this and that. It's just some chest congestion, allergies, and I have actually considered smoking Mullen. I have considered Mullen tincture. I know Jamie out at Off Grid Ping is working on some Mullen tincture. So I don't know. I've gone both ways with it. But yeah, I was thinking about trying to get some of this expectorated out of my chest. Expectorated, I don't think that's a word. Good morning, Jim. How you doing on the road today? Food Forest Farms, the perfect cup in the cup, and you are probably enjoying that for sure. Rewilder Life says, considering it, except I need to inhale with my nose. My sinus is more than chest, and she has the tincture. How's the tincture work, Rachel? I'll get back to the TikTok here in a second. I'm just curious about this Mullen because I've been going back and forth about it. We do have some oregano oil that we picked up at SOE that I've heard does that a little bit, but the Mullen just absolutely clears, like sends blastings out of your lungs almost instantly. We'll find out. There's a bunch of Mullen out on Jamie's property, out on Tim's property. It's everywhere. So should be easy to find and try it out. So we will. I'm curious if the tincture has the same effect or if it is a direct injection. Pickle P says, careful with oregano oil. Yeah, it's a couple drops, and that's it. Okay. All right. Well, we'll look into it. Anyway, the TikTok that Corey sent me that spurred an interesting conversation and made me think even beyond the chat I had with Corey. We just kind of talked about it before dinner last night. But she sent me a TikTok of this chick, and she was talking about the under the cart cameras at the self-checkout to make sure you don't have anything on the bottom of the cart. I don't know exactly where they're located. She didn't say exactly how they're positioned, but from what it sounds like, they are low enough on the pedestal that if you have a skirt on, a rather short skirt, short shorts, or the such, you know, as women see, as women use in the summer, as the time has gone on, they've gotten shorter and shorter. It appears that, yeah, Walmart might be collecting crotch shots. The camera is kind of aimed directly in the right direction. And so the woman was going on and on about it. So this was the part of the TikTok I was like, oh, okay. Then she had to go down and blah, blah, blah about, you know, she did make a really good point. Another really good point about the fact that a lot of times the improvements in new stuff and improvements at stores, like the self-checkouts and all this stuff that's supposed to be great for us, isn't always better. And there's unintentional consequences. Canadian Farmstead, good morning. Thanks for stopping in. He says breakfast cereal and dog food adds two things I have no need of. I don't eat breakfast and I don't have a dog. And Corey and I were also talking about, like, she remembers going to a store that had like a laser, kind of like a laser doorbell thing that ran right above the shelf underneath the cart. So if there's something on it, it broke the thing and it popped a little light up on their cash register. There's plenty of ways to tell if there's something underneath carts other than having a camera like shooting up people's skirts. So this kind of just started me thinking, and I was like, you know, where can you go in public? And we even went as far as like how small and dense, sparsely populated is public, Canadian Pharmacist says that's a bad place to wear your kilt. Yeah, I don't know. Or a good place. I mean, depending on what you want to do with it. But how small of a place do you need to go to have privacy anymore? We were talking about, so Savannah, Tennessee. Not a very big place. It is. It's got a Walmart and a Lowe's and a Kroger and some gas stations. I don't know the population. If somebody's on the Google bot, maybe they could hit the population of Savannah, Tennessee. But we just kind of went through the mental exercise. Pickle Pete says you can still bet on no cams in the shitter stalls and breastfeeding boxes. Ask me how I know, man. These cameras that they let you know about. So Corey and I went through the mental exercise. We're like, obviously in New York City, they got crime cameras everywhere. So let's go down to Real Our Life says maybe in our new area, not even a stoplight. Okay, that's one thing, is the stoplight cameras. Are there any businesses in your new area? Are there any houses with ring cams? Are there any cars with dash cams? Is there anybody maybe recording their kid playing t-ball for the first time in the front yard? We are either intentionally or unintentionally being recorded all the time in our lives. Now, I can pretty much, and I mean, if you really, really want to go down the road, the satellite's recording everything above us all the time. Whether that's zoomed in on you, probably not, unless you're being targeted for some reason, but there is a big picture going on. Canadian Farmstead said both towns close to me are small, but all the shops have cameras. So you can't really go into public. I would say as far to say as drive down the road with there not being some proof you're there at some point. And at most points, you probably have Pips says satellite gets flipped off. So probably at most points we're being watched by several cameras. Several. And we're pretty much okay with it. Do you think about it on a daily basis? I mean, if you do, and here's the thing, it's been like, it's just been shoved down every angle. Everybody has to have a camera, a Ring camera. The scary fucking thing about your neighbors having a Ring camera, they didn't ask you. It's pointed at your front fucking house, at the front of your house. And they can now use that, give that to police. That's basically invading your privacy. Pickle P says, I put an orange flag on my Airbnb front door cam so they can see it, but they don't. And the Corey and I were talking about that fact that, you know, I try to look out. I try to observe. I'm sure there are 100 cameras that snag me every time I go, 100 at minimum, every time I go to Savannah. So what's your solution? What's the solution to avoiding being tracked and found out? Not found out necessarily. Like I'm not doing anything wrong. I just feel that it's an invasion of privacy when I'm being recorded without my knowledge. Hunter says, why would you assume privacy? I mean, do you? Should we? Should we assume privacy anywhere in our life? Should I be able to do what I want in my front yard without fear of someone putting it all over the internet? Should I be able to have a heated discussion with someone in my front yard without my neighbor using the Ring cam to give to police in an investigation of something else? Because when I started doing little Ring cam horror story searches, Hunter says, I'm with you, by the way. Yeah, I mean, I assume it's a good question to ask, though. Rewilder Life says, tolls, we paid almost $175 for them on our trip in April. We postpaid one that we missed in Chicago when Corey and I went to New York. We got trapped in the wrong lane. And went, oh shit, we went through the speed pass. And then the sign like 2 minutes later said, don't worry, you can go on and pay it later. Yeah. Pickle Pete says, black bag your phone in disguises. Well, that's what I was wondering. Canadian Farm says they will assume guilt if you're caught on camera in the area of a crime. I just feel that it's bad news. It's bad news. Pip says, so the laser pointer that's pointed at the neighbor's Ring cam is a bad idea. I think it's a fantastic idea. I think it's a fantastic idea. I think that the whole Ring camera, doorbell camera thing, really spiraled out of control very fast. I think that there are definitely, this is like Corey said when we were talking about the Walmart video, everything that's new isn't always better. Is it good that we have cameras pointing at every house down the road? Because it seems as though everybody has in these neighborhoods has one installed. And if they don't have one installed, it's every other house and they have wide angle. Rewilder Life says, is there a ghillie suit that suit to scramble cameras? Ask the Sasquatch or ask the furry. Canadian Farm says, we catch a lot of porch pirates with them. That mean, fantastic. Great. Is that worth the unintended consequences? And is it a function of society that we feel like we need to have all the cameras everywhere? And what about the people that just want to mind their own business? It doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. It was an interesting thought exercise when we sat down and we just thought about all the different ways you're being recorded unintentionally, non-targeted, let alone if somebody's surveilling you on purpose. Hunter says, I'll be happy when the crime happens to me and Barbara's camera helps convict. Not at all. Not at all. Pickle Piece is not in the hood. No cams. Everyone's too broke to pay for security services. I'm an island of hardened security in the sea of chaos. Do they have traffic cams or anything in the area? It's not just Ring cams. That was just an example. If it's just a Wild West there, then that sounds like a pretty good place. So, good morning, Chris Dixon. How are you doing? Says that's why you do silly walks when you cross the street. So, Pete, do you have fences? Do your cameras reach outside your fences? Or are your cameras only on your property and obscured from seeing outside? Rewilder Life says, some areas of Flint and Detroit, Wild West zero services. Okay. All right. Pip says there's a bus station security cam at the corner of my work. And Canadian Farmstead nailed it. Makes it way easier to set up a social credit system if everything is on camera. Interesting thought there. Very, very, very interesting thought there. And Pickle Pete only got him to the line. And that's I'm perfectly fine with that. I don't need to see the neighbors. So one thing that I'm hoping wasn't on a Ring cam or a dash cam or anything like that is I think I might have threw some bad juju out yesterday. I need to apologize to the mannequin people. I guess, I don't know. It seems like we had some bad juju yesterday. Corey ended up going for a walk yesterday morning, ended up, having a run in. so I've told you the story of Sylvia. I've told you the story of I've told you the story of when we walked by and we got passed with the three dogs and the woman came screaming at her chihuahua out the front door, Sylvia, as it's running down chasing us. They have multiples. And I don't know if you guys, I know Toolman Tim's got a bunch of chihuahuas and that's great for him and all, but I think the things are little pieces of shit. I've never met one that wasn't aggressive. But the only reason that they don't put them down for being an aggressive dogs because they're little tiny pieces of turd. I just don't ever want to be around a chihuahua if I can avoid it. Just, it is what it is. I've never had, they talk about pit bulls, they talk about Rottweilers, they talk about Dobermans, they talk about whatever dogs are aggressive. I think chihuahuas are fucking aggressive. I've never found one. I've never found one that hasn't been in some form or another. The fact that there's vets that won't treat them should tell you something. So yesterday, Corey walked by with the two dogs. Since Walter isn't here, she's been walking them by herself now and then. When I'm going out to the property, when I'm not sticking around, when I'm not doing this and that. So yesterday was one of the days she was walking in by herself. They walk down, they walk past this house. They interacted with a deer. There was a deer on the side of the road. We routinely see deer in this open field. The dogs were fine. They walked all the way to the end. They came back. And as they were coming up to the house, she sees the woman at the mannequin house herding her three chihuahuas in the front yard, screaming at them to get inside, get inside, get inside. We're not really sure how she can't just pick them up. Maybe she's afraid of them. This could easily be a reason why she couldn't pick them up. But she's trying to herd them to the door. Corey observed and thought that she had them to the door. And as she's walking past the house, the dogs turned around and charged our dogs. They charged across the yard. Our dogs held firm. Corey held them back. She was fine with them. The lady came and tried to shoo them back in. And it repeatedly happened. These dogs came charging across the yard, hair on the back of their necks up. And Corey held back the two dogs as long as she could until the fourth or fifth fucking time the dogs came at her. At that point, Norman and Clyde decided that they were going to take care of the situation. And I don't blame them. After repeated charging from aggressive animals, Canadian Farm says dogs, yes, aggressive animals, hair on the back of their neck, they see one thing. They don't realize how big they are. Our dogs don't realize how big they are. And obviously, the chihuahuas don't realize how fucking small they are, that one swat from these dogs would just put them through the fucking wall. And so they repeatedly charged. R2 outweighing Corey 2-1, easy, decided to pull her into the yard and took her for a ride in the yard. She doesn't think that they ended up getting any of the dogs. And I think once they started charging, those little fucking rat pieces of shit realized that they were in over their head. But yes, Corey took a dive in their front yard. She came home. She was dirty. Had taken a dive in not necessarily the mud in the soft yard. She was dirty. She's a little sore today, not bruised or anything. But that makes me wonder if one of my dogs had chomped on one of them. How are my dogs at fault? After repeatedly charging out into the street, They followed them onto their property, but they were charging out into the street with traffic having to wait for them. So they weren't on lead. They weren't on their property. They were being aggressive towards my dogs. But if something happened, I'm sure it would have been my dog's fault and one of them would have been put down. Chris Dixon said you'd still be in lawsuit. It's on camera. You'd still be in lawsuit land. Canadian Farm says, don't worry, it's on camera. Pickle P said exactly why I circled my entire yard with a 6-foot high fence. And that's the other thing I don't fucking understand around here. So we've had to deal with, I shouldn't say all the dogs here. Dogs across the street are fantastic. Secret Pooper and Little Wiener across the street are fantastic. They mind their own business. They come over here, take a dump in the yard. They don't bother anybody, whatever. We can walk the dogs out. They just look at each other. They're like, hey, what's going on over there? There's one dog on our walk that repeatedly would run out in the street, but was scared shitless of our dogs. It was basically all bark, no bite, and the owners beat the living shit out of it. And, it had mange. It still has mange, I guess. But they've kind of finally gotten control of it. And now there's the Chihuahuas, which we've run into more than one occasion. These people have backyards. They're on a street that's 45 miles an hour. People routinely go 55. Two-lane road, no shoulder, barely any shoulder. We walk on it every day. There isn't a shoulder. We jump down in like the ditch when cars come. And these people have fucking backyards. Why do they insist on putting their dogs in between their homes and this road? Even if they don't want to put a fence up, even if they don't want to put them on a lead or whatever, you want to take your dogs out. Why don't you take them out behind? I don't get it. Jim said, wait, what do they say to each other? I don't know what they say to each other. They're probably like, hey, what's going on? You look like you're having a good day. Chris Dixon says, yeah, but if my dog shits in the backyard, I got to pick it up. Not in Tennessee, you don't. Not in Tennessee. Not in Tennessee and not Texas. Like, I've never seen a place where dog shit disappears faster than Tennessee and Texas. And my dogs take huge dumps, like huge. They're big fucking dogs. And their poo gets consumed by the bugs. Gone. I don't know where it goes. Dung beetles, critters, snails. I don't, maybe that's why there's so many snails along our dog walk, is maybe the snails eat the dog shit. I don't know. But anyway, I felt horrible when Corey came home. I decided that unless it's a imperative, whether I'm out of town or something going on that can't be avoided, we'll definitely be doing dog walks together. I'm glad that it was three Chihuahuas and that she was able to recover. She was able to fall in soft-ish ground, that she wasn't injured seriously, and that it wasn't a stray dog, an aggressive stray dog, a bigger aggressive stray dog. We see stray dogs around here all the time. I've seen LGDs and German Shepherds and all sorts of other large dogs that could be a really, 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 really bad situation really fast. And I don't need that. I don't need her to deal with that. I don't need our dogs to deal with that. And I don't need to deal with the fallout of something that happens from that, whether that be an injury to Corey or one of the dogs or another dog. And we're dealing, like Chris said, with a lawsuit. Chris Dixon says that could have gone a whole lot of sideways with a couple of bigger aggressive dogs. It could have. And we we talked it through. It wasn't like, oh yeah, whatever. We both walked those dogs completely by ourselves. And it's not really our, she was upset. She's like, I really wish the dogs would listen. And I had to step back and say, you know, they did listen. They did listen. They listened as much as you could expect them to when they were trying to protect her. At some point, our guys had to think that this wasn't going to stop and they needed to protect mom. They needed to protect their owner, their pack leader. So it was just a bad situation, and we're changing what we're doing because of it. So,
yeah.
and as soon as it happened, I was like, maybe it was bad juju. Maybe it is some sort of religious thing with the mannequins. Maybe it is some sort of voodoo or something. But when we did afternoon walks and walked down past there, all the mannequins had changed positions on the porch. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. let's check in over here. Somebody was wondering how many... what the fuck? Oh man, that vertical feed really gets some interesting comments, guys. I'm impressed every day when I get over there. Hey, good morning, Jim. Thanks for stopping in. Appreciate that. And good morning, Pip, over on Noster. Nosters growing one by one. Rewilder Life says crazy town. Yeah, I don't know. I'm so excited to get in the woods, but between the chat about the surveillance, because I'm very confident that there's no cameras on our build site at a minimum, and for the majority of the property. So can't wait to get out there and get away from crazy mannequin and yard art people, crazy chihuahua attacking dogs on our walk and trailer dogs on our walk with mange. And yeah, I'm good with this. And the thing about it is, once you're in the woods, if you have a problem with an animal, it normally just disappears. Especially if it doesn't have a collar. Just saying. What else? Oh, I was talking yesterday. Yesterday, Chris Dixon says, don't forget about the birds. They're watching. They're always watching. I didn't tell you guys a couple weeks ago. It was last week. Must have been last week. I was out working on shit, and I took a break. I was sitting in a camping chair, sitting next to the water tote that I have up at the build site. And I'm just sitting there, kind of catching my breath, getting some water, and all of a sudden, it like shocked the living shit out of me. But my camping chair was probably this far, about as wide as my head. I don't know, maybe shoulder width from the tote. And all of a sudden, a cardinal, bright red. Was that male? Male cardinals are red. Yeah, I think the females are like gray and a little less red. Came screaming in and landed on the cage of the tote, the big IBC totes and the cage on it, right on the top rail, like right level with my head as I'm sitting in a lawn chair. And I turned around, and within 2 or 3 feet, and he just stops and he looks at me, cocks his head a little bit, sat there for, I don't know, 30, 45 seconds, just kind of looking at me. I'm looking at him. I'm confused. He's confused. And then he flew up in a tree. And I was like, interesting. That was, I'm kind of being immersed into nature here. um, Chris Dixon says, don't those male Cardinals have great big funny looking hats? Did they tell you that when you were a little boy? Did they show you what's under their robe? Anyway, I was out yesterday digging more, preparing the platform, the quote unquote platform that I'm making for the shed. That project has kind of gone sideways and it's getting there. I completed my platform project yesterday, and I'm getting really close to the final, having it dug, the pond dug out completely, or my little pond, I guess you could call it a pond. It's going to be 10 foot in diameter and like 3 foot deep. Is that considered a pond? Is that considered a mud puddle? Is it considered water storage? What would you consider a 10 foot diameter, 3 foot deep hole full of water? John Palmer, good morning and good day to you also, sir. You got Harbor Freight ad. That, hey, they're dialing in on my guy. They're dialing in on the algorithm. They're trying to figure it out. Harbor Freight. If everybody got Harbor Freight ad that came into this live stream, I think it would be probably a win. At least better than Biden and anti-gun ads. That'd be a little more appropriate. So what would you guys call a 10-foot diameter, 3-foot deep hole that ends up full of water at some point? Is that a pond? Is it a slough? No, slough is like a drainage ditch, I think. Chris Dixon says, depends on what you use it for. I'm going to use it to hold water and whatever else I end up putting in the water. Pickle B says it's definitely not a rainwater catchment. Pretty sure rainwater catchment might be appropriate in Tennessee. Or a lot of people got not rainwater catchments. That's for sure. Holy shit. Garden pond, watering trough. Yeah, I mean, frog and fish habitat. Okay, I got it. That's almost done, by the way. But I did make a big deal yesterday about digging probably down over 2 feet. So I was down, when I got there yesterday, I was down probably 2 feet, a little bit more, and I hadn't found a rock. Hadn't found one rock in the whole thing, and I was excited. I was super excited. I found rock. I found three rocks, I think. Not bad. Not bad. It was chert. It crumbled with a good strike from the Polanski, whatever Brian called it yesterday, the cutting mattock. I just happened to hit it. I thought it was a root and hit it like I was going to cut the root, and it sent shockwaves up my arms. I was like, whoa, how about that? And then I hit it with the other end, and it cracked right in half, came right out. No problem. Pickle P says, go deeper, at least 30 inches, and your fish are safe from raccoons. I'm at 36, dude. I needed more. More dirt, more fill for my project. So I'm down to 36 inches in some spots. Others need to be cleaned out, but I'm going to be like shaving the edges nice and clearing it out after the fact. I got enough material for what I need right now, but it's pretty much well under 30. Or well over 30 inches deep in most places, and more like 36 or more in some places. So, and I know I'm good. I haven't hit anything solid because I've run the axe, the pickaxe down through, and that thing's got a 8 to 10 inch blade on it, and I buried that pretty much everywhere in that hole, trying to loosen stuff up. So I don't think I'm going to run into anything. I think I'm going to be good to 36 feet. Chris Dixon says, any standing water here is a mosquito hatchery. I'll put a fountain in the fucker. I have liked fountains. Fountains have been one of the things that I've always kind of been drawn to in my life. I actually jumped into one in the mall when I was a kid because I thought this is a swimming pool. I was a little kid, you know, like 19. No, when I was a little kid. And but I've always been partial to fountains, like the fountains out in like the neighborhood ponds and that shit. Always liked them. Always kind of like slowed down, took a look at them. So having a fountain in there wouldn't be a horrible thing. And mosquito fish, like John Palmer said. Yeah. Yeah. Chris Dixon says, was there a man with a Bible with you? No. No, they did not baptize me in the fountain in the mall. No. No, that would be kind of fun, though. So, yeah, I found a rock. John Palmer says that all the rock will be underneath the cabin. And, you know, I'm always waiting for that. I'm always waiting for that. Always waiting for the next challenge. Always waiting for the next shit to figure out. But it would be nice. It would be nice if I could hand dig all the post holes for the cabin. And if not, even if I have to battle through some chert at 28 inches, at 30 inches, in the last 6 inches of the hole, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that compared to what I have to do to dig a hole in Minnesota. It has been, I dug that pond or whatever it's going to turn into. I dug that out. That just wouldn't have happened in Minnesota. I just wouldn't have put myself through the struggle of trying to dig a hole like that. I would have had enough rocks to make 10 fire pits if I was digging that out in Minnesota. Not just small little pebbles, not gravel, like rocks the size of your head. All smaller, like all put together, and you pull one out, you get one shovel of dirt, and there's another one right there next to it. Chris Dixon says, not without tannerite or things that go boom. Yeah, or an excavator. I mean, a backhoe, you're good. But by hand, it sucks. Pickle P says, now you see why I don't mind hand digging my foundation. It's easy, just slow. Yeah, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this comparatively. Now, if I get over there and I hit a slab or something, it'll be what it is. Looking at the makeup, like looking at the side, the stratification of the soil, the topsoil down into the clay, down into the heavier clay, and where I found the chert, I think I'm going to get plenty of depth. I want to go 36 inches. With the posts if I can, but if I get over 24, it's fine. John Palmer is, no, it's not quite like Jack's place, but if Jack's setup was 24 or 28 inches down, that's a nice footer. That's a footer for the posts, I'm pretty sure. So we'll see. I'm not going to buy a power auger. That's for sure. I'm going to pick up post hole digger and a bar and go at it and see what happens. I think it will. I think it'll go well. Let's see. Oh yeah, nature. Holy crap, guys. Holy crap. So I went out yesterday to do more work, and I get up to the site, and right now we have a tarp that we wrap everything in on the at the site, like the tools that we have up there. I had the boxes for the shed, everything, so that the cardboard didn't get deteriorated if it rained. Tools wrapped up, a camping chair, some other things in the tote or in the tarp. So basically, it's all pinned underneath. We pick it up, and when we're done, we put everything in the pile and pull the tarp over it and stake it down with logs. When I moved the log the other day, when Corey and I were out there, we found the snail. I mentioned that yesterday. I brought it home. It's doing well, by the way. It's integrating well into the snail farm. Yesterday, I go out. So you got to remember, we were out there. We left probably mid-afternoon on Saturday. I showed up yesterday morning, probably 9:30-ish. So we're talking, 12, 17, maybe 40 hours. Maybe 40 hours. So... Pickle P says, don't say snake. Nope, not a snake. I have seen some snakes on the property. Nothing crazy. And nothing at our site. Nothing at our site, yes. John Palmer says, bless Corey. Yes, bless Corey. She needs it. She lives with me. And so I pull the logs back, and I go to pull the tarp up, and I flip the tarp off. And there is this enormous, I don't want to call it a rat. It wasn't a rat. It was a field mouse, but it was an extremely large field mouse sitting on top of the box that was there. So we've unpacked the shed. We've taken all the pieces out. They're kind of like staged out around where we're going to end up building it. Since it sits out in the rain when it's built, we figured it would be fine when we took it out. But I still have the box with our soft-sided garage that goes up next wrapped in there. When I flip it off, this mouse is standing on top of it, just looking at me. And I'm looking at it going, what are you doing? In under fucking 2 days, that little fucker went in there. He found the folding camping chair, which we put back. It's not like he's been scoping this out, because it goes in a different order every time. He found the folding camping chair. He found the cup holder, the little mesh cup holder on the camping chair, and built a whole nest in it. He built a whole nest in it. Not a cardboard nest. He didn't eat the cardboard. Pickle P says his cardboard, it's his cardboard now. No, he brought his own materials. He brought grass and twigs and leaves and all sorts of stuff. He had a little nest, all nice and cozy in there. I was nice enough that I removed the nest hole, and then I saw where he dove off into the weeds, and I just set it into the weeds for him. So hopefully he makes his nest in the weeds now. But yeah, I was blown away. Under 2 days, he had that all scoped out and built up, and he had inhabited our tool pile. And if they chew on the cardboard, it is what it is. It's just the box. So definitely going to be on the path of getting everything knocked down, getting all of the perimeter away from all the stuff kind of cleared out and shaved down, and get some rodent control going. Definitely birds and all sorts of other ways to keep the mice away. But yeah, I was just kind of shocked. Oh, shock. Between the cardinal last week and the mouse yesterday, I think I'm letting them know I'm moving in. we're moving in here. We got to coexist. I have to coexist. And you see the coexist bumper stickers with all the religions or whatever. Yeah, I just coexist with nature, hopefully. I'll provide a nice place for him if he needs to, off to the side, away from my stuff. And that was kind of our MO with the Coyotes and shit in Minnesota, and how we coexisted with them was and kept them out of our chickens. We never had chickens we were trying to protect taken by coyotes. And I say that because at the end, when we were free ranging all our old hens, all our retired old hens were just free ranging around for bug control. We had a coyote that was picking them off one by one. We watched it happen. Rewilder Life says mice also coexist with ticks. Yeah, so do I. So do I at this point. Holy God. And so do chickens and guineas and fowl will be out there sooner rather than later to get rid of the ticks. But yeah, we were watching a coyote pick off our free range chickens at the end. And it wasn't a horrible thing. It wasn't a horrible thing because we were trying to get rid of them anyway. But our MO with the coyotes and how I think one of the reasons we didn't lose our chickens was when we lost a chicken, when we had one die, and they have a heart attack or whatever, if it wasn't one we were culling to eat, a lot of the times instead of in the compost pile, they went out into the woods. For the coyotes, to keep them happy, to keep them fed. If they're eating stuff in the woods, they weren't eating my shit. So was kind of the theory. So it seemed to work. It seemed to work. We had a pretty good track record with our animals, as far as predators are concerned. We made mistakes. The humans killed some of our livestock, but other than that, we were pretty good at protecting our stuff. So hopefully that continues. If you give nature what it needs, it usually takes care of you. So other than that, guys, I don't have a whole lot on this list. It was a shorter one last night. I didn't know how long the surveillance talk was going to go, and it is what it is. Oh yeah. Thanks, Corey. I forgot to mention this shit in the surveillance talk. You know what's going to get really bad? Really, really, really bad. So Corey and I were talking about the dash cams, the security cameras on traffic lights, the businesses, the security cams on businesses, all of the different cameras around. And it's just about ready to explode because every night when we watch our show, when we watch Prime, when we watch our shows on Prime before we go to bed, I see ads upon ads for the Amazon glasses and the Google glasses and the Apple glasses. So not only are we going to have all these cameras that we already mentioned, now we're going to have all these douchebags walking around with cameras on their fucking glasses, recording constantly, because they might have to ask Alexa at home to preheat the oven. And we need to do that on our glasses. Or we have to see something and immediately look it up on the internet to see what it... Oh, how much does that cost? Where can I buy that? Can I get one of those? These glasses have cameras in them. Everything you're looking at is being recorded. Whether you turn it on or not, I have to assume if the power is on that it's being recorded or sent somewhere to a cloud. What would be the point otherwise? About ready to get fucking creepy, guys. Really, 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 really creepy. And listening to this guy talk about them. Listening to the guy talking about the glasses is kind of scary. I can't live without my Amazon Prime glasses or whatever the fuck they are. I just can't. And he's constantly talking to his glasses. He's like looking at things and asking about them. I'm like, Pickle B says those glasses are hooked to AI. At the end of the day, it writes a mini transcript of the day into a log. Fantastic. Ruala Light says, I have no Alexa. Neither. Yeah, I don't have any of that shit. I hate that our TV is smart. We don't have a TV. Ours is a little tablet, a Surface Pro. So I guess that's smart and recording everything, but it's recorded in my Amazon account regardless. Pip says, oh, please, the D-bags that wear the Google glasses can't cook. They only get takeout in Uber Eats. Ruala Life says, we have places where phones don't go. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I think a sanctuary is probably a wise thing to design into any new living situation. Maybe Corey and I'll have a little sanctuary on our property. Not that it matters. There's no service there anyway. Pickle P says, imagine if you could talk to AI all day about the next invention. It keeps updating the model all day. That would be great. That would be great if I could go to a computer, or I can use my little tape recorder and talk to it. I don't want it constantly viewing and thinking about everything I'm doing every day, all day. Because it's not only just talking about the invention you want to talk to about all day and update that model, it's talking and thinking and observing every moment of your life. Pickle P says, yes, it journals your day, recaps all of your combos, etc. No thanks. No thanks. Not interested in the least. It's nobody's fucking business. Because you know what? As much as you want to say that it doesn't go up, it doesn't get uploaded, it doesn't go to a cloud, it doesn't, oh, I didn't authorize that. Security breaches, you know, how valuable is that data? Who do you have working? Who would be interested in gathering that data, and how much energy would they put into getting it? John Palmer says, some things I want to forget. There's a lot of things I see in public that I want to fucking forget. So, I don't need Google glasses. Fuck that. I can use the tools. I don't need them on me at all times. I've seen the Google Glasses thing multiple times for quite a while now, that they were coming, that they're here, now they're advertising them, and it's never been something that I wanted to put on my face. Pickle P says, are you going to flip the AI and make it work for Team Freedom? No, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I had a discussion with a friend the other day over dinner about politics, and it was interesting. It didn't change my mind. John Palmer says, you'll be seeing them more now. Yeah, they're gonna be everywhere. At least now they look gaudy and awful, and you can tell. Soon you won't even be able to know. Soon there'll be contact lenses, and people you're talking to will be recording you without your consent constantly. Yeah. No thanks. Ruala Life says, just like I'm not participating in government, I'm not participating in AI. I think that's short-sighted. I really do. I think that there is a place for technology, for sure. I think it's a slippery slope. But I think when you have tools at your disposal for free, when you have tools, like if I had a backhoe to dig my little pond, it would, and it was accessible and free and on site, and all I had to do was jump on and use it for what I wanted to, I think there's a great benefit in that. Now I'm not going to drive the backhoe around in case I have to dig a hole somewhere. And I could turn the backhoe off. So, I, just my opinion. I don't see, and that was kind of, that might have been the crux of really the conversation about the politics was, we were talking about different things. My friend was a rep, and did a lot of good for a lot of people in the short term, did good things for good people that, that he felt good about. And that's fantastic. I'm not saying that on a local, on a small scale level, that things can't change a little bit, but I really think that my participation in it and wasting my time and energy in it isn't worth the juice isn't worth the squeeze. And especially on a grander scale, on a national level, the amount of time, energy, and focus and hate and anger that comes in with national politics is just a fucking waste. Nothing is going to change regardless of which way it goes. Nothing is going to happen. And so I was talking big picture. He was talking micro level that he was personally involved in. And I think it was a disconnect there. So. Rewild Life says, I misuse the word, but certainly types of AI like this. Yeah, I'm not putting glasses on. I don't need something else to record my day. I went down the path of, so when Siri first came out, I had one of Corey's cousins was using it pretty heavily as a personal assistant, I would say. And I thought about it. And I was like, well, this is available on Google. I could do this. And I thought about it, and I never pulled the trigger because it never felt right. Documenting publicly, because like I say, as many privacy boxes as you want to fucking tick, it doesn't matter. I never went down the path of having my day-to-day, moment-to-moment activities uploaded on purpose. I'm not naive to think that the fact that my phone isn't listening or whatever isn't listening here, there, and the other thing, but purposely documenting my life through a phone assistant. I don't think so. Rewilder Life says, how do we determine where our line is? I think that's a personal choice. It really is. I think it's, and how do we use the term correctly so we can converse like this? It's a good debate to have. The term AI, the term artificial intelligence, that's a broad stroke. That's like saying I used a phone. I used a computer. There's 8 million different firms, versions, purposes, functionalities, limitations, hardware, software, and everything in between. So it's an emerging technology, and I don't think a lot of the shit's been named yet. So anyway, we're 10 after, guys. We are 10 after. I got to wrap up here. Pickle Pete's going to be going on the West Coast. Wake up Seattle was scrambling. Hopefully you guys have a fantastic day. And it's Tuesday. it's still only Tuesday. Going to be a few days of really, really, really nice weather here in Tennessee. And then into the weekend, we're going to be up pushing 100. 100 degrees. So I'm glad I got that extra air conditioner here. Beyond that, I appreciate everyone listening. If you enjoyed the show, it's always free to hit the like, share, and subscribe to Return Value for Value. Please consider joining one of the YouTube membership tiers or listening on any Value for Value platform like Podverse or Fountain.fm. You can visit thelastproject.com or comfreyroots.com for more information about me, all our products for sale, partner companies, affiliate links, and the such. Oh, Tuesday. Tasty Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, maybe. I'll have to talk to Corey. Maybe we'll be having Taco Tuesday later tonight at the fantastic Mexican restaurant down in town. Other than that, guys, make it a great day. Get shit done. Knock it out of the park. And we will catch up with you again tomorrow.